Paul said, you're complete in Him. Amen. He's everything that you need. And I praise the Lord for that. Appreciate you being again in the house of the Lord, radio audience and internet audience as well. Brother Brad and Ms. April are up visiting with Matthew this weekend, attending church with him today. And Brother LaVon is preaching for Brother Gary Wood up in Rocky Mount. He'll be doing both services for Brother Gary. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I want to, if the Lord will allow us to, in these next few weeks, to preach a kind of a series of messages on I Met the Master. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I'll tell you, Brother Barry did a great foundational work this morning and about the Lord coming, and it's getting better and better all the time. It was awesome this morning. It's going to be great. He did love the world. God so loved the whole world. But He deals with us always as individuals. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He spoke and created all the other living beings. But when it came to man, He formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He spoke to him and dealt with him as an individual. And so through all of time, God, while He loves the whole world, loves everybody, He speaks to us individually, deals with us individually. And from the time the Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate, when He was born of a virgin, the very first step He ever took was headed toward Calvary. And for the rest of His life, 33 years on this earth, He was making His way to Calvary. And along that route to Calvary, He met individuals. And He spoke to them individually, and He dealt with them individually. And as I was praying and thinking about this series of messages, boy, it just got big in my heart. Charles had just sang that I want to feel that you're near, the nearness of the Lord. And here's the wonderful thing about it. He'll come to you, speak to you, convict you personally about your lostness through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you call upon Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, He comes into our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit of God, crying, Abba, Father. I mean, the God who causes the sun to rise and set, the tides to go in and out, who feeds all the birds, He speaks to you personally, individually. And then He never, ever leaves you, and He lives inside of you. And what a wonderful thing to know. Sometimes we sense His closeness more than others, but He's always with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He came to dwell in us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And He said, and He will not depart from you. He'll stay with you right on through the very end and into eternity. And thank the Lord for that. I want to share with you this morning kind of an introductory message, because I'm going to deal with a few individuals. And some of you may have heard a little of what I'm going to share this morning, but I felt like it's the way the Lord would have me to go. So I want to just kind of do a real quick interview of a few people who met the Master in time in His physical body, and what happened to them, and what we can learn from that encounter, because it's all of us as personal experience. When we meet the Lord, and He's special to all of us, and in some ways He deals with us in the very same way, but in some ways it's very different. And we experience Him and we know Him, and there's some part of that encounter when we meet the Master that makes it very special. And so I want to begin this morning by looking at one individual. And thank you again, Chris, for leading the singing, Jennifer for playing. Thank you, Miss Juanita, always. What a blessing. And thank God for that awesome song, and Charles as well, and all of you being here this morning. Here's a story. Back in children's church and maybe in Sunday school, you remember the story? Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man there named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press, because He was little in stature. He ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Him, for He was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and He saw Him, and He said unto Him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. That is, he received Christ joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, He was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, I have of my goods I have given to the poor. And the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you this morning that you're real. And our Father, of all the men, women, boys, and girls in this building and the youth church and other part of the building, God, you speak to us by name and individually. You know the very number of the hairs in our head. You care for every one of us. And when you died on that cross, you bore all of our sins in your own body on the tree. But Lord, I'm so very thankful that in time you came to us. You dealt with us. We had an encounter. We met the Master. And I pray, God, in these next few Sundays as we look at people who met the Master, God, that we'll see ourselves and some in this building, our Father, who have something missing in their life, they would know that when they meet the Master, they'll get what they need. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help me now. Lord, I confess before you there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing eternal will take place. Lord Jesus, we rejoice and thank you for the great services at the prison this morning, for the 14 men who trusted Christ. And Lord, I'd pray that somebody in the media audience, the radio, the internet, or here in this building this morning would meet the Master for the very first time and know what he can do for them. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and the little song the children sing back in children's church, and you sang when you were growing up. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a little, wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And it goes on that little song and says, the Lord came by that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for the day I must abide at your house. Here's Zacchaeus. The Bible says two or three things about him. It says in the first place he was a publican and he was rich. Who's a publican? When you read the Bible, you'll find that they were always in bad light because they were those who had aligned themselves with the Roman Empire. And Israel at that time was under the domination of the Roman Empire. And they went to work quite often, like Matthew in the Bible. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. That is, he worked. He worked for the Roman government, and he collected taxes. It says he was rich. Now, how did he get rich? Here's how he got rich. Rome would say to me or to you or whoever, you owe $100 tax. And so when Zacchaeus would go to their house, he'd knock on the door. He said, I'm representing the Roman government, and you owe $150 to the Roman government. Now, you say, Brother Billy, wait a minute. You said he'd owed $100. I said, I know it. That's what they said. He owed $100. But Zacchaeus would say, you owe $150. And so what he'd do, he'd get the 150, he'd send 100 to Rome, and he'd put 50 in his pocket, kind of like modern day politician. But at any rate, he's got rich doing that, and the people hated him. He couldn't get to see Jesus because of the press, because there were so many people there, and he couldn't get in to see. He climbed up in a tree to see the Lord. And the Bible says that as the Lord was passing by, of all that great multitude and all the tumult and all that was going on, he stopped right at that tree, and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Notice two or three things. He knew where he was, and he knew his name. And God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've done in the past. He knows every sin. He knows all about you. He knows every burden, every care. He knows where you are in your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He knows where you are. You can put up a front before anybody else, but God knows your heart. You can act religious. You can act like you're saved, but God knows your heart. He knows where you are. But he also knew his name. Never met him, but he knew his name. And I want you to know he knows your name. He knows all about you. He knows everything there is to know about you. And my dear friend, he met Zacchaeus, and he asked him to come down. He invited him to come down. And the Bible said, and Zacchaeus came down, and he received him joyfully. And then he calls him Lord. Now, the Bible said no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit of God. So what happened from the time he was on that limb till he got to the ground? The Holy Spirit of God dealt with him. And I believe that he recognized and believed that Jesus Christ was in fact the Savior, and the Holy Ghost of God had introduced him to Jesus. And when he got down, he called him Lord. He testified about what was going on. But I'd like to just ask Zacchaeus today, Zacchaeus, what have you learned? And what did you learn when you met the Master? What could you tell us here at Benson Grove Baptist Church and our friends in the media audience? Zacchaeus, what is your message to us today? When you met the Master, what did you learn? And he'd say to me, Brother Billy, I learned so many things. I learned about his mercy and his grace and all those things. But I'll just tell you one thing real quick. He's got time for sinners. All that was going on, if you read the rest of this chapter, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. They're going to spread palm branches, and they're going to sing Hosanna to the King. They're going to recognize him as his king. They'll not receive him as Savior. They want him to be their king. But he's going to be received that way. But instead of rushing on to that appointment, he stopped and took time for Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, to say this, he's got time for sinners. He's got time for you. And if we as a church get so busy that we don't have time for sinners, we're too busy. If we're doing all kind of other things and it's not geared toward reaching people for Christ or loving people and ministering to people, not just lost people, and that's one of the main thrusts, like Cindy read to us a while ago. But sometimes we have Christians who fail. Sometimes they sin. Do we have time for them? Can we help them? I shared this story, I'm sure you may remember it, but many years ago I was watching TV and the Special Olympics were on. And they lined all these children up, maybe 15 or 20 at a starting line. Some had Downs and some had other physical problems or mental problems or whatever. But they finally got them all lined up and pointed in the right direction. And then they fired the gun. And they all started running. They were running almost in a little cluster down through there. And right in the middle of that crowd, one little fella tumbled and failed on the cinders, and he just sprawled out on the track. And you know what they did? I was watching it. Everyone stopped, and they turned around and came back to him, and they got him up, and they dusted all the cinders off of him and got him standing upright and got him pointing in the right direction, and then they all started running again. They were more concerned about him. They were the race they were running, and they took time to stop and help somebody who had fallen. Do you do that? Do we do that? Do we take time for sinners? And Zacchaeus would say to you today, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. My dear friend, Jesus Christ has got time for you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to save you, give you everlasting life. And as many as will call on him, as many as will turn to him, to them will he give eternal life. Let's look at somebody else just real quickly this morning. Just a few people who met the Master. Notice over in John chapter 4, if you will, please. In John chapter 4, we have another encounter when somebody meets the Master. Very familiar story that you've read over and over again. I just want to look at it at verse number 6, if you will, please. Jesus has told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And Samaria is that area which was the capital of the northern kingdom at one time. But the Samaritans were people where the Assyrians had brought in other people, and they had intermarried into the Jewish race, and they had not kept allegiance to their national heritage and all of that. And so they didn't have a lot of dealings with the devout Jews back in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria. Notice if he said what he said in verse number 16. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The rest of the story. She talks with him, and she talks about worship, and he says, our fathers say, here's the place to worship, and your people say in Jerusalem, the place to worship. And the Lord goes on to tell her that God is really seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. In the middle of this conversation, the Lord says to her, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you answered correctly or rightly, because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Here's a woman who's been married 5 times, and now she's just living with somebody, not her husband. But she meets the Master, and God changes her life. And she leaves, and she goes into town, and she tells all that town what Jesus did. And she said, come and see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? Is it not the Christ? And they came out the whole town. And the Bible says there were many that believed on Jesus because of her testimony. I'd sure like to go to her house and ask her, ma'am, could you tell us something? You met the Master. What did you learn from your encounter with meeting the Master? What did you find out? What did he make himself real to you about? What? And she'd say, oh, Brother Billy, I have been lived a wicked life, been married 5 times, living with a guy, never could find real love, never could find real peace until I met the Master. And she said, I'd just like to put it this way and say this to you. Jesus is somebody who knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. Who told me all things that ever I did. Did you know that Jesus Christ knows every sin you've ever committed? And you may be in the sound of my voice and you may be thinking, Brother Billy, he'll forgive this one, he'll forgive that one. But you don't know how wicked I've been. You don't know what I've done. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, in my 50-something years of ministry, I've met all kind of people. I've never yet met one that he could not save except for those who will not believe. I've talked to them who have been murderers and rapists and everything else, people who've stolen, people who were good moral people, but yet lost it on their way to hell. I've never met one that said, I'm sorry, I trusted Jesus. And I've met so many thousands of people and seen them in meetings I've had who trust Christ and say, there feels like a weight got off of me. And I feel like I passed from death to life. And that's when he meets you. And I'm going to tell you something. He knows all about your sin, every thought you've ever had, everything you've ever done that nobody else knows about, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad. Nobody knows what you've done, but God knows every bit of it. Jesus knows every bit of it. But I'm going to tell you something. He loves you anyway, and he died to save you anyway. And she said to us this morning, I met the Master, and I'll just tell you this morning, he's somebody that knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. Now I want you to know this morning that love is what leads us to repentance. The Bible said the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Now I want to assure you this morning that Jesus Christ loves you. They said of Jesus when he had the encounter with Zacchaeus, he said he's going to the home of one who is a sinner. And I'm going to tell you right now, he'll go to your house. He'll go to your home. He'll live in your life. He'll forgive you of your sin. You can meet him today. You can have an encounter with somebody who loves you and knows everything about you. My good friend, Brother Avery Rogers, is in heaven and been there for many years now. But he was an old preacher from Victoria, Texas. We named our son Avery after him. And he preached a revival for me for 10 years every year. Sometimes I'd have him 2 weeks at a time. Sometimes I'd have him twice a year. And we'd sit and talk, and me and him and Regina, and we would talk. And you know, when I learned about Brother Avery, I could tell him everything about me, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he would listen to me. He would not condone anything I did that was wrong, but he would love me in spite of it, and he would tell me what I need to do to make things right or whatever. I just knew that I could come to him. And John says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knows them all already in half. But if you'll just come and acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, he'll have mercy on you and forgive you. He loves you. You don't even have to talk him into it. He wants to save you because he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And my dear friend, Zacchaeus met him, and this woman at the well met him, and what a blessed thing that is. Look over in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. You're already in chapter 4. They met the Master. Zacchaeus met the Master, and he'd say to us that he's somebody who's got time for sinners. The woman at the well met him, and she'd say to us that he's somebody who knows all about your sin and loves you anyway. Here's this familiar story in chapter number 5 of the book of John. after this, there was a feast of the Jews in Jerusalem, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent people. That is, they were, notice, they were blind, they were halt, they were withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at certain season to the pool and troubled the water. And whoso then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years, this man has been lame. 38 years, I don't know what age he started, but they brought him, somebody's brought him and put him by that pool once a year with hopes that he could get in and get healed. And notice what happened in verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth in before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Wouldn't you like to meet that man who met the Master? Wouldn't you like to meet that man who for 38 years had laid there anticipating, and every little ripple in the water he thought might be the stirring? And I can only imagine that the tips of his fingers were worn to where they were bleeding, where he would try to drag himself to get in close proximity to the pool so when it began to bubble, he could get in, be the first one in. And for 38 years, he'd found no help. For 38 years, he was taken back home, lame, disheartened, discouraged, and broken. But now something's different. Now he meets the Master, and boy, what a difference that made. And he said, wilt thou be made whole? And the Lord made him whole. Notice, didn't take a week, didn't take 2 months, and it went a process. In that case, immediately he made him whole. And the Bible said he took up his bed, he rolled up his bed, and he rejoiced. My dear friend, listen, immediately, I'd like to talk to him this morning and say to him, friend, I know you met the Master. What did you learn? What would you tell us at Benson Grove Baptist Church, all of our friends on the radio and the internet? What would you tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? What can we learn if they could meet the Master, if they could encounter him? And he'd say to me, Brother Billy, there's so many wonderful things I could tell you about what he did for me and how he's blessed me since then and helped me to grow and met my needs and all those things. But I want to just tell you this right off the bat. He said, Jesus Christ can help you and will help you when nobody else will. He said, I was by that pool 38 years and no man would help me. They couldn't do anything to heal me, but they wouldn't even help me. But Jesus is somebody, my dear friend, who can help you when nobody else can and when nobody else will. And you can know him. If you'll meet him today, what nobody else has been able to do, no physicians, no counseling, no, he can change your life, and it doesn't take a week. Immediately he can do that. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you turn from your sin and turn to the Savior and call out to him, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father, and we are born again by the grace of God. I'm telling you right now, he'll do it for anybody. Whosoever will may come. You don't have to come physically. You don't have to do. But if you'll come in your heart, anybody can come. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can meet the Master if you'll but believe on him. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to have a new life? That's the problem with alcoholics and drug addicts and everybody else. They really don't want. They don't want to be sick. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do the other. But they don't want Jesus. They don't want to be born again. They don't want, and they don't know what they're missing, do they? If you're saved this morning, say amen. Amen. The greatest thing in the world is to know that your sins are gone. But my dear friend, he'll do for you what nobody else can and what nobody else would do. He will save you. He'll give you everlasting life. Old Zacchaeus would say to us this morning, somebody got time for sinners. The woman at the well would say to us, he's somebody who knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. This lame man would say to us, he's somebody that can help you and will help you when nobody else can. a little further in your Bible, just for the sake of time, let me mention his name quickly. In John chapter 9, there was a blind man, and he'd been that way since birth. And Jesus opened his eyes, and they came to that man, and they wanted to know who did this. And he didn't know Jesus' name to start with. He didn't know, and they said, confess, he's a sinner. And he said, I don't know if he's a sinner, but here's what he said. One thing I know is where his eyes blind, I can see. I'd like to go talk to that man, wouldn't you? And I'd say to him, friend, you met the Master. What would you say to us? And he'd say, oh, Brother Billy, his grace is sufficient. He's a wonderful Savior. He's provided all my needs. Oh, you wouldn't believe the difference. I'd never seen the beauty of a rose, nor sunset, nor sunrise. But he said he met me, and I met him. And now I can see clearly. I've seen my family. I've seen my loved ones. I can see everything. I'm so thankful for that. But what can I say to you? I'd say this to you. Same thing I said to that crowd. He'd say this. Jesus is somebody. If he touches you, you'll know it. He said, whereas I was blind, now I can see. Can I ask you a question? You joined a church one day and you got baptized one day. You made a profession of faith one day. But are you different now than you were then? He said, when he touched me, everything changed. He touched me. When I met the Master, I don't know all I know about him, but I know one thing. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. Can you see? Can you see the Word of God? Does the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart when you read the Word of God? Do you have an encounter with him, not just one time, but in all of your Christian life, in prayer? Do you see him in the Word of God? Do you see him in your prayer time? Have you seen him in a move in your life? Have you ever been in a service where God was real and you saw the Lord, not physically with eyes, but you knew that was God? You sensed spiritual things. If you don't have that in your heart, if you don't know that he's made a change in your life, you've never really met him. At the pool, there was a multitude of people. In this scenario, there were a lot of people around. But there was one man up a tree, one at a time. What's the difference? They met him. They believed on him. They trusted him. And he made all the difference in the life. One other man in the Bible, his name is Stephen. He's probably what we would call one of the first deacons. He loved God. He loved the church. And he testified about the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews that he was the Messiah. And they hated him. The Bible said they gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, they literally brutalized him. And then they took stones and began to stone him. And they killed him. Broke the bones in his arms, his legs, and his chest cavity, and finally just he collapsed and they crushed his skull with stone and he died. But the Bible said he died like Jesus died. He died looking up to heaven and he said, Father, forgive them of their sin, just like Jesus did on the cross. And then he made this statement. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, if you'll read the Bible carefully, you'll find where Jesus is at in the book of Hebrews. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But when Stephen looked up, he was standing up. You know why? Because Stephen's fixing to go to heaven, and Jesus is going to receive him unto himself. Stephen, I'd like to ask you just real quick at the end of the service here at Benson Grove, who is Jesus? What did you learn about him? You met the Master, and he'd say to you this. He'd say to you, church, if you'll trust him as your Savior, he'd be the first one that you see when you enter the gate of that city. Because there's not one person in heaven. We've got a little girl up there. We've got parents up there. Got grandparents up there. Got so many of our friends up there. But there's no one in heaven who wants to see us more than Jesus. He died to save you. Matter of fact, he prayed this prayer just before he went to Calvary. Father, I pray that they might be all where I'm at, that they might behold my glory. There's nobody in heaven that wants you there worse than Jesus, and he'll be the first one to greet you when you go through the gate. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I met the Master. Have you ever met him? I'm glad he met individuals, one man up a tree, one woman at a well, one man by the pool, one blind man by the way, one man, Stephen, while he was being stoned, he revealed himself to him standing. He's no respecter of persons, you know that. He knows your name, knows all your sin. He said, he weeps in the Bible twice. He weeps at the tomb of his friend Lazarus because he was going to call him out of the grave and bring him back into this world. He'd eventually have to die again. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus because he loved him and he loved Mary and Martha. But the Bible said he looked across the city of Jerusalem and he wept. You know why he wept that time? The Bible said he wept. He said, because you, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might have life. Did you know that Jesus weeps over those who don't trust him? He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly, the Bible says. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. But he weeps because you would not come to him that you might have life. He's not too busy. He came to seek and to save sinners. He's got time for you this morning. He knows all about your sin, and he loves you anyway, and he died for you. He'll help you when nobody else can or will. Jesus is somebody that if he touches you, you will know it. Jesus is somebody who'll greet you when you go through the gate. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Have you ever met the Master? Have you ever had I'm going to just tell you this morning in my little office at the house, just a brief time of prayer and reading the Word of God, the book of Isaiah this morning. I saw him. I met him. I'm glad that it wasn't one time in my mama's front yard when I trusted Jesus Christ on that old green and white glider. That's not the only time I've met him. He's never left me. But we have had many special encounters. Regina and I were looking back trying to find some pictures of where we spent time with Gary and Susan, trips we've been on and times we've been together. Doing that, I saw pictures, just all kind of pictures of family and experiences where we were here, there, and everywhere. Trips we had, family times together. Those were wonderful times, and I remember those meetings and those times of being together. The greatest joy as a Christian is those times when you meet him in a very special way, in your prayer time, in reading the Word of God, in your darkest hour when he comes and you feel his arm go around you and he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be with you. I'll get you through this valley. I'll get you through this storm. Those become precious times. We don't like the storm. We don't like the death. We don't like the sadness. But when it's all over with and we're on the other side and the sun's shining again, we remember his presence, that he never left us or forsook us. He stayed with us and he helped us to weather the storm and got us through it. Have you ever met him? If you're here this morning and you don't know him as Savior, can I encourage you right now? Immediately, the Bible said he healed that man. Would you turn to him with all of your heart right now? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you really, really, really want to change? Do you really, really want to have your sins forgiven? Do you really, really want to be a Christian? If you do, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him right now. Right now where you are, just say to him, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You know all about my sin and you love me and you died for me anyway and you came to seek and to save that which is lost. Save me right now. Come in my heart. I don't want to be just a church member. I don't want to just go through water baptism. I want to be saved. I want to meet the Master. I want my life to change forever and forever. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. If you'll do that, I encourage you to do it right now. And if you'll come forward, I'd be glad to help you, pray with you. We'd love, the church would love that they pray. They are praying right now that you'd get saved. If you get saved today, what time of rejoicing we could all have together if you'll come and confess him publicly this morning that right now, just this few moments, you've asked him to come in your heart and save you. If you're here as a Christian this morning, how close is he to you? Charles sang that song, the chorus said something about your nearness. I long for your nearness. Are you close to him? Maybe you're going through some dark waters, dark time. I want to tell you, he's right there with you. And when you can't see his hand, you can trust his heart. Look to him and trust him. Maybe you want to come this morning and just bow before him and thank him that he loved you and he saved you. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe you've been praying about a church home and you know this is where God wants you. You want to come and unite with this church by membership or statement. But whatever God leads you to do, I invite you to come. And Chris, will you sing a verse of a song for us? Chris is going to sing. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would do that which I cannot do and no man could do. I've tried, our Father, to preach the truth this morning. I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God is on it, made it real to hearts and lives. But God, I know that no man can come to you except the Father, the Spirit of God, draw him. God, please draw this morning. I pray you'd put the want to in somebody's heart. Wilt thou be made whole? God, put it in their heart that they'd want to be changed. They'd want to be made completely whole. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to make that real to them right now. God, for those who may be away from you, a little cold and a little distant, God, you didn't leave them. They've walked away and they're not close to you. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to have personal revival this morning. Breath of heaven, breathe in this place. And then, God, I pray, God, that you direct your people in whatever way you want them to go. And I'll thank you. While we continue in attitude of prayer, I invite you to come right now and get around this old-fashioned altar. Take every opportunity you have to kneel. You may not be able to kneel very soon. You may not be able to walk down the aisle very soon. And you'll wish that you could be here. You'd wish to have opportunity once again to kneel at this old-fashioned altar and just to thank him. I invite you to do it now. I invite you to come. If you're not saved, we'd love to see you get saved this morning, praying that you will. Praying the Holy Ghost of God to deal with you. You'll come. You'll not be the first. There's several coming. I invite you to come this morning. As God, Holy Ghost, spoke to your heart, will you obey him? Chris is going to sing a verse or two, a song. We invite you to come right now. If I can help you, I'll meet you here at the front. You come right on.